Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. In light of the storms that are bearing down and lashing our country this weekend, I'd like to begin this gospel reflection this weekend with a prayer for protection in storms. Let us pray. Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, safeguard us in your love and mercy, and grant us abiding confidence in your providence. Send your Holy Spirit, who hovered over the waters at the creation of the world, to console those who suffer from storms in our country. May your Son, who walked on the waters and calmed the fears of his disciples, grant peace and tranquility once again in our day. Bless your children in distress and bestow your grace on those who respond even now to the needs of their brothers and sisters. May your Holy Spirit cleanse our hearts from sin and help us to serve you in serving others. We place all our hope in your mercy to bring us at last safely home to you, through Christ our Lord. Amen. That's a beautiful prayer I found this week. And in times of storms, in times of havoc and trial, there are so many beautiful graces available to us, and boy, do we need them now more than ever. Boy, do the people of Florida and Texas continue to need them. We need them for our country. We need them for one another. We need beautiful graces for our world. And God, who is so generous, is present often in the times when we know we need him most. Such is our time. For the past 2 weeks at Sunday Mass in our readings, we've been reading from the beautiful chapter 16 of St. Matthew's Gospel, a beautiful chapter that recalls to mind the founding of Christ's church, the founding of the Catholic Church, the giving of the keys and the authority to St. Peter, the first of the apostles. One of the marks of that church that Jesus established is the mark of unity. As a church, we are united in our faith and creed. We are united in our worship of the living God. And we are united with God himself, with one another. We heard that last week. He said to Peter, "Peter, I will build my church upon you, and what you declare loosed will be loosed. Whose sins are forgiven, they are forgiven." We hear it again. This week, we find ourselves in Matthew 18, and Jesus repeats this word of unity with him and with one another. He says, "What you hold bound will be held bound. What you loose will be loosed." Today's readings are set, though, in a context of chapter 18, where there is need for unity. And Jesus calls that out in the beginning. The gospel opens with this word of the Lord saying, "If your brother sins against you." We might say it could be translated "when." It's not a matter of if, but when. And in this chapter, Jesus is giving advice. He's giving counsel for how to deal with the division and the sin that surrounds us. The division and sin that is the result of that fall. Division and sin that was present in Jesus' day and that is present in our own day. In other words, how do we really become instruments of unity? How does that come about? The gospel this weekend shares for us the three ways of unity. That we are united in our human condition. That we are united in the person of Jesus. That we are united in his name. Number one, united in our human condition. The gospel says, when or if someone, your brother, sins against you. Notice the language, your brother. This isn't just church talk or scripture talk, but Jesus already is pointing out in the beginning that the other is our brother, that the other is a member of the same human family. And so whatever the division may be, it's important to always remember that the other is one of us. We are one of them. That whenever we are dealing with problems, we, yes, may be dealing with a problem, but we ought never to lose sight of the person. It's not projects we deal with. It's not problems we deal with, but rather it's the person. And how important it is to remember that. And so unity begins by remembering that we are united in our human nature. We are united in our human condition. Made of the same stuff, stuff that happens to be sacred, stuff with a great dignity. I remember when I first heard this, and it was from the mouth of the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., Alveda King. Some of you may be familiar with Alveda King. I had an opportunity to be with her right after Trayvon Martin was shot several years ago. The race issue was becoming more and more in the news, the riots, the response to this hatred in our streets. And Alveda King was asked what she thought about the Trayvon Martin shooting. And after saying how disgusted she was with that killing, she said, you know, I think we're forgetting that there is only one race, the human race. And my friends, how important it is that we remember that. We are all part of the human family, the human race. And in a world where humanity is becoming more and more divided, unity, real unity, begins with recognizing that we are all part of the one race. I am the chaplain for the Courage Apostolate here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. I work with heroic men and women who are Catholic, who are Christian, who are seeking to live a chaste life with same-sex attraction. Our world calls such people GLBTQAI and whatever other letters. How important it is to remember that they are brothers and sisters. And before someone may be GLBTQ, that someone is either male or female. My friends, we need to remember the unity that we share as a human family, as brothers and sisters, as members of the human race. And the gospel, when Jesus says, when or if there is a problem you have with the other, go to your brother, speak, have a conversation. Point number one. Point number two, if your brother does not listen to you, Jesus says, go and bring some others. And if he does not listen to them, go to the church. What's he saying? He's saying, recall that I am with you. Recall that I am one of you. God became man. He is united to us in his human nature, and we are united to him not only as Christians and through baptism, but we are in some way united to him in our human nature, in our humanity. And so that union that we have with Jesus, that union that we have with God, that God is the other, that God shares a connection with us that cannot be undone. My friends, how important that we remember that. That is the good news, that all of humanity has a relationship with the living God. And finally, gather together then as family, as the human family. Gather together in his name. If we are gathered with our brother or two or more, united and united in his name, Jesus makes us a beautiful promise. I am there. My friends, to recognize and to believe that he is here is the call and the challenge of our own day. And now more than ever, we need to recognize it, and we need to be a people of Christian unity. 17 years ago this week, we experienced a unity in this country that came from one of the saddest days in our country, September 11th, 2001. And we recall that day with all the sadness and tragedy, but we can recall it knowing that he was there. This week brings us to a week where there is more tragedy. And in this opportunity, where there is no more division, where there is real need, human need, my friends, let us be the people of unity, the people of charity, the people of respect that we are called to be and that the world needs us to be. This week, pray with the gospel and be brother and sister to the other. And whatever the problem, whatever the sin, know that unity has been restored to us and can be restored to us in the courageous act of willing love and of being love to the other. May God bless you, and may he bless all of those who are in such need at this time.